We're turning in God's Word this evening to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 1. The Gospel of Mark, chapter 1, while you're turning up that passage, I have to tell you the last time I was in Ulster in January was in 1987. That was my first visit to your province, and my memory of the cold weather has not changed. It is cold in Ulster in January. My feet are like blocks of ice right now. My hands are like ice cubes, but I'll somehow struggle through and get through the message this evening. It's good to be back. See you folks again. I've been keeping my eye on you. Sunday afternoons, while my wife is getting dinner prepared, I turn on sermon audio and watch as the camera scans this congregation. I know that one. I know that woman. I know that man. And I've been watching you, making sure you stay right. I'm sure Mr. Greer will take care of all that. But it's good to see you in person, to see your mugs again. And I trust that God will give us a blessed time around His Word this evening. Mark's Gospel, chapter 1. I want to break in, please, at verse 35. The Gospel of Mark, chapter 1, verse 35. And in the morning, rising up a great while before day, He went out and departed into a solitary place, and there prayed. And Simon and they that were with him followed after him. And when they had found him, they said unto him, All men seek for thee. And he said unto them, Let us go into the next towns, that I may preach there also, for therefore came I forth. And he preached in their synagogues throughout all Galilee, and cast out devils. There came a leper to him, beseeching him, and kneeling down to him, and saying unto him, If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched him, and saith unto him, I will, be thou clean. And as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy departed from him, and he was cleansed. And he straitly charged him, and forthwith sent him away, and saith unto him, See thou say nothing to any man, but go thy way, show thyself to the priest, and offer for thy cleansing those things which Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. But he went out and began to publish it much, and to blaze abroad the matter, insomuch that Jesus could no more openly enter into the city, but was without in desert places. And they came to him from every quarter. Amen. God will add his blessing, we believe, to that public reading from his word for his name's sake. Would you bow your head with me just for a moment? Would you ask the Lord to prepare your own heart for the word tonight? Let's all pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we come again to Thy throne of grace. We come, Lord, needy. We confess to Thee our own insufficiency tonight to bring any kind of message that will have an effect upon saint and sinner alike. We do pray in Christ's name and the authority of His great name that Thou wilt give the gracious empowering of the Spirit of God for Thy servant to preach the gospel. Lord, we pray that as only Thou canst, get the attention of everyone in this meeting tonight. Shut out those distractions, we pray. Keep our thoughts from wandering here and yon. Take tiredness from mind and body. Oh God, we pray tonight that Thou wilt do business with sinners. Thou wilt bring them into the kingdom. We ask that Thou wilt once again thrill the hearts of Thy people with Christ, with His grace, His saving power. We ask it all for the glory of Thy Son, and His name we pray. Amen and amen. Way back in 1681, John Bunyan, that renowned English Baptist preacher and author of Pilgrim's Progress, published a sermon with a subtitle that read, A Plain and Profitable Discourse on John 6:37. In that verse, the Lord Jesus Christ encapsulates the very essence of the gospel. He said, "All that the Father giveth me will come to me, and him that cometh I will in no wise cast out." Bunyan's main title to that sermon captures the heart of Christ's words, the heart of the gospel, and therefore it captures the heart of Christ's earthly ministry. His sermon title read, "Come and welcome to Jesus Christ." It's no surprise that the gospel account of Christ's life, therefore, are chock full of references to people coming to Christ and Christ receiving them with open arms. Here in chapter 1 of Mark, we find the Lord Jesus on the Sabbath day casting out an unclean spirit of a man who was in the synagogue. And Mark says that his fame spread abroad throughout all the region of Galilee. It's no surprise that we read in verse 32 that at even, when the sun did set, they brought unto him all that were diseased and them that were possessed with devils. And the Spirit of God adds in the next verse that all the city was gathered together at the door of the home of Peter. Can you imagine that? Can you picture the scene in your mind's eye? Peter's home, and all the city is gathered together at the door. Hundreds and hundreds of people seeking Christ. Imagine the sheer hubbub, the noise, the shouting, the praise that would have taken place as the Lord Jesus Christ healed the diseased in Peter's home that night. But the wonderful thing is that all these diseased, Christ received them, every one. He welcomed them with open arms. From the outset of his earthly ministry, sinners were taught that not only was this Jesus the one to whom they needed to come, but that this Jesus taught them that they were welcome whenever they did come to see him. And his whole life testified to the truth that he uttered in John 6:37, "And him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out." Come and welcome. That is the grand declaration of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's the heart of it all. Come to Christ and welcome. With such a welcome and such wonder-working power, it's no surprise, it should not be at least, that his name and his fame and his claims spread like wildfire. And it would seem that this is the reason why we find this leper approaching Christ one day. Somehow, some way, he had heard about the man called Jesus, who had this power to cast out demons, who had this power to heal all manner of diseases. And somehow, he got a hold of the idea that if he could get himself to the Lord Jesus, he would be welcome. A leper, the off-scouring of society, the outcast, would be welcome. If he didn't believe that, he would have never sought him out. We know very little about the man himself. His name is not even given us, but he sought Christ for healing. And Christ received him, and Christ healed him. And he was never, ever the same after that encounter with Jesus Christ. The scene before us this evening is a very graphic picture of the gospel. The leprosy represents the spiritual state of every sinner prior to coming into contact with Jesus Christ by faith. And the leper paints for us the sinner seeking Christ for healing, seeking Christ for salvation from this disease that he knows is going to kill him. And Christ healing this man who's come looking for healing, you might say, is God's yes to any and everyone who would cry for cleansing. From what I believe is one of the most touching scenes in the Gospel of Mark, I want to preach for a few moments this evening on a leper's saving contact with Jesus Christ. A leper's saving contact with Jesus Christ. I only have 2 points. My first point is simply the leper. Let's look at it. Let's step into the scene of time this evening and look at this leper who has come to Jesus Christ. While there is very little told us regarding the biography of this man, there are several vital things we can glean even from this handful of verses in Mark's gospel. Number one, I want you to note the leper's condition, his condition. As we look at his physical condition, we will see solemn truths about the spiritual condition of any and everyone who has never had saving contact with Christ. Yes, I'm talking about you that's in this meeting tonight, and you've never, and you know right well, you have never had saving contact with Jesus Christ. You're in another gospel meeting, and you're lost. You've never met Him. You've heard all about Him. You've heard what He's done for others. But you've never had the experience yourself of coming into saving contact with Jesus Christ. I'm talking to you. Here in all the blackness is the picture of the state of man's soul that has been plagued. It's diseased by sin. First, I want you to see the sickness of his condition. He's called a leper. He was plagued with the disease of leprosy. Now, just what this disease was is a matter of debate among whom we call Bible scholars. Many have taken the position that the leprosy of the Bible is equivalent to modern-day leprosy, which is known as Hansen's disease in our day. It was called Hansen's disease because a Norwegian doctor with that surname was the first to see leprosy bacteria under a microscope in 1873. It wasn't until the late 1940s that a drug was actually developed to treat this kind of leprosy, and not until the 1980s that a multi-drug approach was developed to treat drug-resistant strains within communities of lepers. Many other Bible scholars point out that while there are similarities between Hansen's disease and the leprosy in the Bible, there are too many differences to conclude that they're one in the same. But you know my point tonight is not to enter into the debate of what leprosy in the Scripture actually was. My point is to underscore the diseased state of this leper. I want you to see, just to get a glimpse of how sick this man was. And I want you lost sinners, wherever you are in this meeting tonight, to get a glimpse of how sick you are. We can't begin to imagine the horror that would have come over a man or a woman in biblical times who were told by the priest, "You have leprosy." There was no known cure. If God did not heal it, it was a death sentence. And it was guaranteed to be one of the most painful and horrendous deaths imaginable. It was a disease that began as white spots on the skin. And the white spots would eventually turn crusty or scaly. Matter of fact, the Greek word for leper comes from the word that means scale. As the leprosy progressed, the skin would begin to break down and it would ulcerate. That's why you have the instruction, Leviticus chapter 13, where the command is given concerning the leper. He's declared to be unclean because of, the Scripture says, raw flesh. The skin has become ulcerated. Open wounds that are oozing. Once diagnosed with leprosy, you became an outcast and were confined to living with others in your same condition. You had to say goodbye to your family, goodbye to friends, and live in a leper colony. Anytime you came near others for whatever reason, the Levitical law stated that you had to cry out to let them know, unclean, unclean, warning them that you were diseased. Even if you were in desperate need of help, you would have to stand off like those 10 lepers in Luke 17 and cry for help. They stood afar off, it says, and they cried to Jesus for help. They stood afar off because they were lepers. As your flesh rotted, you began to give off a very foul odor. If you've ever worked in hospitals, you'll know exactly what I'm talking about. The skin breaks down, infection, the odor is horrendous. And so you're doomed to die this horrible, lonely, painful death. Such was the sickness of the man who came to Christ one day to be healed. And such is the spiritual state of everyone here tonight who is plagued with the disease of the leprosy of sin. It's just a condensation on God's part to come down, to condescend to us, to teach us something of how awful the plague of sin actually is, when it's compared and symbolized in Scripture with leprosy. We're all born as spiritual lepers in the sight of God. And that little infant held in the arms this evening is not innocent. It is born a spiritual leper. It is born with a depraved heart. If that little infant could raise its fist and shake it in the face of God, it would, because of the disease, the plague of sin. Sin has polluted the soul of every man. He is sick, and it's a sickness unto death. Sin always brings with it a death sentence. As God states twice in Ezekiel chapter 18, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. Even now it grows and grows inside you like a malignant cancer. And if you cannot obtain the cure, you will die the death of the unrighteous. You're going to die the death of the wicked. You're going to die eternally. You can't imagine a more horrible death than eternal death. My best words, using all of the descriptive powers that a man could ever be given, could not begin to describe how awful eternal death is, separated from God in the lake of fire with no hope. And I must tell you tonight, that is where you will be if you do not seek Christ for healing from your disease. You have in yourself no cure. There is nothing no preacher, no minister, no mom, no dad, no husband, no wife can ever do for you to heal this disease. I want you to see the seriousness of his condition. It is Luke, interestingly enough, the physician, who gives this added bit of the leper's diagnosis. Mark doesn't say this. It's Luke who says, a man full of leprosy. His leprosy, in other words, was in the advanced stages. It was not just a little white spot here or a spot there. He was covered from head to foot. It would not be long before that disease finished its work and he would be brought down to the grave. And such is the serious condition of you this evening. It is serious. You may promise yourself many years, but this leprosy of sin is doing its work. going on and going on and going on in rebellion. Hardness deepens. It's infested your mind, your will, your heart. So well does the prophet Isaiah describe you from the crown of your head to the sole of your foot, your wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. If you could just see yourself, look at the leper tonight, advanced, stinking, rotten leper. That's the state of your soul. Doesn't matter how nicely you may be dressed. Doesn't matter your appearance in the eyes of others. This is your appearance in the eyes of God. Your condition is serious. The leper's coming, note please, secondly. As we continue to look at the leper, notice his coming. It says in the first part of verse 40, "And there came a leper to him, beseeching him, and kneeling down to him, and saying unto him, If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean." In the first place, please take careful note that he came by himself. No one else would or could take him to the Lord Jesus Christ. He didn't have the luxury of that palsied man. And there were four men who carried him on a stretcher and opened up the roof of the house and let him down. No, he was a leper. No one would touch him. He had to come by himself. If he was going to get healing, he had to come by himself and seek Christ. Perhaps everybody else had given up hope on him. Remember, he's full of leprosy. Oh, yes, you know how it is. You know, you've seen someone in advanced stages of cancer. You know what they look like. You know they haven't long to live. Everybody else had given up. It's too late. But he must have reasoned that if he did not get himself to Jesus Christ, there was no hope at all. Christ was his last hope. And I have to say, Christ was his only hope. And even though nobody else would go with him, he said, "I'm going to get myself to Christ. Yes, I'm a leper, and yes, I'm an outcast, and my, how I'll be castigated for what I'm about to do, but I'm a leper. I'm going to die if I don't get to him. I'm going." That is how every one of us must come to Christ. Our parents may tell us of Jesus. They may have explained to us all during our childhood years about the cross and about our sin. And our minister may preach to us the gospel of Jesus Christ. But none of them can actually bring us to Christ. Your friends may want nothing to do with going to Christ. But you must, like this leper, go to him by yourself. Or there's no hope of being healed of your leprosy of sin. He came not only by himself, but he came humbly. And kneeling down to him, Mark says. Luke says, he fell on his face. Matthew says, there came a leper and worshipped him. In the Synoptic Gospels, all of them have this picture of this leper coming humbly. You put it all together. He comes up to Christ. He gets close. And he drops to his knees and he puts his face on the ground and he worships Christ. Oh, he knew what he was, all right. And he knew that the one before whom he bowed, the one to whom he had come begging, he was the Lord. He calls him that, Lord. After all, wasn't that the only position he should have taken? Coming as a rotten leper before the Lord, a humble position. There's nothing he had to be proud about. He had no ground to be conceited about anything. I can't imagine what he would have looked like. If he had been a handsome young man, the handsomeness was gone. If he could have boasted in his strength, his muscles, they're gone. He was just an old rotten leper. He came humbly. He was penniless, and he was powerless. He could not reverse his hopeless and his helpless condition, and he knew it. And so, full of leprosy, covered with the leper's rags. Remember those wounds were oozing? Just covered with the leper's rags, wanting so much to be healed. He bows down before the great physician in humble reverence and says to him, "Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean." And I say to you, dear lost sinner, and you are dear. I don't want to say those words because preachers say them. You are dear. Your soul is so dear. If only you understood how precious your soul is, that the Father would give up His Son to get you, is beyond my comprehension. Dear sinner friend, that is how you must come. In your disease, He is Lord. And you are bankrupt. And you are leprous. And you are dying, and you have no claim upon Jesus Christ other than His mercy. That's all you can claim. Don't come claiming you've been raised a Free Presbyterian. Don't come claiming you've been a faithful church attender. Makes no difference. If you've never come into saving contact with Jesus Christ, you're lost, you're diseased, and you have no hope but coming humbly to Him. You're not in the position to demand anything of Him. You are a beggar. God is not one to be bargained with. But Christ welcomes beggars. Christ welcomes ruined beggars, leprous beggars, with open arms. Not only did He come by Himself, and he came humbly, but I want you to see in the third place the leper's confidence. He makes this amazing, I think it's an amazing statement. If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. You ever pondered that? If you're willing, you can make me clean. If you're willing. It's quite the opposite, you know, of the father with the demoniac-possessed child who said to Christ, "If thou canst do anything, help us. If you can, if you can, if you have the power, if you have the ability, your disciples couldn't do it. But if you can, would you please help us?" That's not what this leper said. If you're willing, I know you can. That is a clear indication of his confidence in the power of Christ to heal. He had confidence in Christ that was, let me say, first personal. Personal confidence. Thou canst make me clean, you see. Me clean. He believed not only that Christ had the ability, the power to heal, the power to save him, but that he had the power to heal him personally. That was personal faith in Christ. You hear that term so often. Sometimes I'm afraid that people don't give enough attention to what that actually means, personal faith in Jesus Christ. Because without personal faith, you're lost. You can have faith, but it's got to be personal faith in Christ that saves. The devils have faith. They believe, James says, and they tremble at what they know about, at what they know about God. It's got to be personal faith. And by personal, I don't just mean that it was his own faith in Jesus Christ. That is always true. You know, the faith of your mother, your father, whoever it might be, it can't save you. You need to have personal faith, your own faith in Jesus Christ to be saved. But by personal faith, I mean that you don't simply believe that Christ has the power to save your friend or your spouse or your parents, but you believe that he has this ability to save you. This man didn't simply believe that Christ could cleanse a leper. He believed that Christ could cleanse him. Do you believe that tonight? Been coming here a lot of years, but I still don't know everybody. I know faces, but I have to believe in a building this with this many people in it. There's got to be people here who are lost. As I told the young people, I got to believe there's people here who know they're lost. And wherever you're seated right now, you know it. There might be others who think they are, and they're not. Ask the question, do you believe tonight that he can heal you and save you right where you are? You can sit there and believe that, yeah, I've seen him heal. I've seen him save this one and that one. But that's not enough. I think the man must have reasoned that if Christ can cast out demons and heal all these other people with their diseases, surely he can cure me of my disease, even though it's been long standing. You know, Christ can, and he has saved drunkards and drug addicts, and he has saved sodomites and lesbians and thieves and murderers and liars. But the faith that saves is not just to believe that he can or that he has. He has saved these people. The faith that saves, the faith that believes that he can save you, even if you are a liar. Even if you are a sodomite in this meeting tonight. Even if you are a drunkard. Even if you are a deceiver. He can save you. Not only was his confidence in Christ personal, but it was perceptive. Note carefully what he says. If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. This leper perceives something very important about the activity of God, about the activity of the Lord. And that is this. I have to believe he thought this way. That what the Lord does is conditioned solely upon his own will. What the Lord does, that's his activity, is conditioned solely upon his own will. If thou wilt, if you're willing, you can make me clean. If you're willing. I realize, Lord, that if you're not willing, I can't be clean. But if you're willing, I know you have the power to make me clean. What the Lord does is conditioned upon the Lord's will. That was a very big theological statement, by the way, about the sovereignty of God. And it wasn't uttered by a theology professor teaching systematic theology. And it was not made in a classroom in seminary. And it certainly wasn't made in the midst of some heated debate on Calvinism. It was made by a poor leper at the feet of Jesus Christ. If you're willing, I know it's all hinging on your will, Lord. But if you're willing, I know you can cleanse me. You can heal me. That leper perceived that his cleansing lay in the hands of the sovereign will of Christ. That man believed that Christ, because he was the Lord, had the right to exercise his power to heal as it pleased him. He knew right well that he had no claim upon Christ. He knew right well that Christ, as so many think today, that he knew that Christ was not bound, that Christ was not obligated to save him. There's no obligation on Christ to save you tonight. None. Don't think that God has to give every man a chance to hear the gospel just once because he doesn't. That is not the God of this Bible. When he said, "If thou wilt," he was saying that this cleansing was a matter of the sovereign grace of Jesus Christ. Now, I don't want anyone here to mistake what I'm saying. If there's any lost sinner, diseased, leprous sinner here tonight who is willing to receive the healing from Jesus Christ, you can be dead on sure that Christ is willing to give it. That I know. If you want it, Christ is quite ready to give the healing. I tell you that. If you want to be healed, he will heal you. If you want to be delivered from this awful, awful state where you're headed for eternal death, Christ says, "Come, I'm willing, and you're welcome at my feet." But let's also be as confident as this leper was that we have no claim upon Christ for anything other than mercy. If God left us alone in our sin, if God would leave you alone in your sin, he would be just in doing so. Because all that we deserve is hell. That's all we deserve. That's all we've ever earned. God is not owing to us. Having said that, I can say with absolute confidence tonight, just as the leper said it, if you are willing, the Lord Jesus Christ has all the want to and the power to heal you. But this truth you must understand. Your healing, your cleansing, your salvation lies in the sovereign hands of Christ. You need him. You need him. His confidence in Christ was particular. His faith brought him to deal directly with Christ. Note the pronouns. "Lord, if thou art willing, thou canst make me clean." If you're willing, you can do it. His faith, his confidence was fixed in Christ alone. It was very particular. Not on his abilities to do anything for himself. His faith was not fixed on Christ's disciples or anything that they could do or anyone else. He came looking to Jesus Christ alone. And I have to tell you tonight, I have to tell you that none but Jesus can do helpless sinners good. No one else. Not your mom, your dad, your husband, your wife, your minister. His heart said, none but Jesus can do you good. No other blood atonement will do. Nothing but the blood can wash away that sin disease. Nothing but faith in the crucified and risen Christ. No other name is given among men whereby we must be saved. No one. You convinced of that? You must be to be healed. I turn finally to the Lord. We looked at the leper. Let's just tarry for a moment and look at the Lord in this scene. This man in leprous rags has come up to Jesus Christ. He's fallen at his feet. He's bowed before him and said, "Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean." He's a leper. The law says he's unclean. The law says you don't touch him. What's Jesus going to do? Notice first with me the Lord's pity. Verse 41, and Jesus, moved with compassion. There lies this poor, wretched, helpless sinner at his feet. He stinks. He stinks. The rags for the oozing from the sores, he's there before him, and the Lord's heart went out to him. That's compassion. And that is pity. At once Christ says, "I will." Don't question my will, he says, in essence. If you're willing, I will. I am willing. I am willing to heal you. How deep and comforting are those two little words. At once they show the mind of Christ toward rotten, fallen sinners. At once they show it. Do they not show the mind of Christ toward you, lost sinner? I'm willing. It was compassion that moved the Lord to act. He took pity and moved to take away the cause of the misery. You know, the average Jew wouldn't want to come near a leper, and really not even to be seen in his company. Christ stoops to meet the man at the very point of his need. How unlike Christ is from this world. And I've got to add, sadly, how unlike the Lord Jesus is even with many of God's own people when it comes to making contact with sinners. The old drunks, smelly, the druggies, covered in vomit. And too many, I'm afraid, hold their noses and turn aside and don't look beyond what they see on the outside and say, "There's someone who is miserable," and have compassion. A compassion that not only will pray for lost sinners, but will do something to get them under the sound of the gospel. Do something that they can hear about Jesus Christ. Let me just encourage the Lord's people here tonight to make this year a year like you've never had before. When you tell those lost sinners about the great physician, make plans to do something different. Not to sit idly by and let everyone else do the work. You want to be like Jesus? Are you serious about that? We talk about wanting to be like Christ. You want to be like him? Will you not have compassion, therefore, upon the outcasts of society? You can know tonight you're lost, you're leprous. You can know tonight, no matter how black your sin, how deep your misery, that Jesus Christ, as it were, just stands right there. And he's willing to save you.
and He has compassion on you. You know what? They said that Whitfield could hardly ever preach without weeping. I pray the Lord never dries my eyes of tears. But one day, Whitfield said to this bunch of sinners, "I weep for you because you will not weep for yourselves." And I'm talking to sinners tonight, I know. You've never shed one tear about your own soul. And yet your minister, your spouse, your parents, they've shed many tears, but you've not cried once about your sin. Jesus pities you. He has compassion. Not only the Lord's pity, but finally the Lord's power. It says in verse 42, "And as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy departed from him, and he was cleansed." Immediately the leprosy departed. Your heart is not too hard for Christ. Your sin, however long standing, whatever you've done, it's not too deeply dyed that the blood cannot wash it whiter than snow. Your circumstances are not hopeless at all. This is the mighty Christ. This is the one who's mighty to save. No matter how long you've been rebellious. And should I say, no matter how long you've played cover up and you've worn the mask of being a Christian, but actually, no, you're not, because you know that you've never had saving contact with Christ. No matter how long standing it is, Christ is all powerful. There's no case too hard for Him. No case. Come, ye sinners. Come, ye sinners, poor and wretched, weak and wounded, sick and sore. Jesus ready stands to save you, full of pity, joined with power. He is able. He is able. He is willing. Doubt no more. Come and welcome to Jesus Christ. Won't you come? My lunch at home comes in between the announcements, the opening singing, and the close of the service. I've done my meal, I go back into my study, and I listen to the work here in Ballymena. Usually coming to the close of the message, the gospel message, and I hear the appeals from Dr. Pollock, from Mr. Greer. And I wonder, when will they come? I hear some of you have come. You've come to Christ. And you found He healed you. But I know there are some here tonight who have never come to Christ. And I'd be glad to beg to get on my knees and say, please come. Go on no longer in your sin. This disease is far advanced. You're going to die. You're going to die. You're going to die. And hell is awful. It's awful. Come tonight. Come. And Jesus says, welcome. God read His word upon our hearts for His name's sake.